concerning a real problem that many of us have when we try to include courses about world food. Teaching something which our students have absolutely no experience with. Most of our students in my classes have never been outside the United States. A few have never been outside of the state of Ohio. How can we do something that will get them to remember anything about agriculture outside of their experience? Well, I think I've found a couple things. Our World Food course basically deals with food production and consumption in countries other than United States. I'm assuming our students know about food in United States. The objective has been to provide them with experiences that they will remember. And I've been able to verify this anecdotally with students who can tell me in detail some of the experiences that they had in this course 5 years after that. Now, can any of your students tell you about anything in your courses 5 years ago? I mean, some of this stuff works. The first one is a trade fair. Okay, and I'll describe a little bit more about this as I go through it. The second is cross-cultural negotiation. Okay, the trade fair. This is what I started with. Students are divided up into teams of two, and the objective is to visit a trade fair, much like maybe held in Europe or in the United States, promoting agricultural products from various countries. They are to negotiate and purchase items for their company for resale in the United States. They then, after they've made this purchase, which is on a written contract, they make up a brief marketing plan and present that to the class. The sellers are natives of the country they represent. Okay, I prefer not to have people who are connected to the college or university because the students know them, they're comfortable with them. I want the students to be uncomfortable, as in a real business situation. Knowledge of English is not necessary. Real world, not everybody speaks English. I try to limit the number of products for sale so as to not overwhelm the students. Some of our countries will only have two or three products, and usually the students get some advance warning of this. Everything is a single shot, 2 hours, in an evening period. Each country is represented with a table, a small flag, a letter or a placard identifying the country. There may be two or more people from that country selling their products. Usually, they go through an introduction period. This is part of the bargaining process. Get to know who you're dealing with. Now, this has taken quite a while to get to this point. I'll talk more about that later. The seller will describe their product. In this case, we have a British fellow describing agricultural equipment, tractors, that he has for sale. He just happens to be a tractor salesman near the college, who is from Britain. So he actually pulled out his actual sales brochures. The college students, the ag students especially, think, oh, this is great, I know how to buy a tractor. Turns out they don't. Where needed, we provide a translation service. Now, this particular pair, let me see, the people on the right are representing a grocery chain from Mexico, selling Mexican foods to the students on the left, the translators in the middle. Depending on the occasion, they may or may not speak English. We have some sellers that actually switch during the session. They just said, oh, I'm going to speak Spanish from now on. And the students say, oh, well, that's okay. Then they have to go find a translator. In other cases, the person they're negotiating with does not speak any English in reality. And someone accompanying them will speak English. We had a lady represented China. This happened to be the mother of a collaborator. He translated for her. She knew no English. Reality. Now, translation is not cheap. They have to pay for it. And as in all things, you bargain for the translation service. There are suggested fees, and then you bargain for the fees. Translators are sitting there, they'll walk up to a country table, and they start speaking, and all of a sudden they discover they don't speak English. Oh, we have to have a translator. Where's the translator? Oh, over there is a translator. They go over there, bargain for 5 or 10 minutes, come back, and then they have a translator to work with. We try to get most continents represented. This may not always be possible. Generally, this fellow, let me see, he represents Nigeria. They tend to go all out for this, bringing their local costumes. They'll raid their refrigerator, their shelves in the kitchen. They'll bring in foods which they would be consuming. This fellow ran a grocery store in a nearby town, a Nigerian grocery store. He knows what he's doing. All agreements are signed. This signed pro forma is part of their final report, part of their business proposal. Okay, so that avoids some funny stuff going on there. The interesting thing is all kinds of weird things get into this signed pro forma. I won't go into a lot of the war stories, but some of our traders are extremely creative. They have been in the business. They have seen all kinds of shady dealings, and they use quite a few. Okay, just a quick review. Some of the advantages. The advantage is I have no control over what's going on. Okay, this should not be an advantage, but it is because it puts the students up, hey, we don't know what's going to happen here. And they've heard from other students that this is some weird things are going to happen in here, and they have to be on their toes. They're dealing with people who are in the business that they're representing. This is not fake. Failure and embarrassment are probable. And at the end of the session, at the end of the 2 hours, each country gives an assessment of every student team they bargained with. This is very informative. Some of the problems: scheduling nationals who can represent their country, getting a room large enough with all the tables and chairs, and I encourage each student team to have at least 2 to 3 pro formas at the end of the fair. This is to make sure that if they get a really bad one, they'll have something to fall back on. The problems with some of the student traders, they're unaware of cultural differences. They have little experience with other English dialects. They have a lot of trouble understanding some dialects. They have no idea about how to bargain, and they trust everyone. Okay, the solution to this has been cross-cultural negotiation training. And this has been a little bit difficult to find literature on because most places offer $4,000 to $5,000 courses in it, and they're not giving out their training materials. So, we make up teams of 4 students. They interview a foreign student on campus and learn about how to negotiate in that country. They must make up a 10-minute role-playing exercise to demonstrate to the rest of the class negotiating techniques for that country. The objective being to purchase several tons of something from that country. The setting for the negotiation is in that country. Presentations can be done in a classroom, theater in the round. One of the things that I encourage them to present is a bad practice. They seem to enjoy this more than anything else. After each presentation, they go over, they become the teachers. They say, this is what we did, this is why we did it. That explanation may take as long as the presentation because they learned all this cool stuff and they want to tell everybody about it. Okay, one of the things I've noticed about training before the trade fair, they get to know the importance of learning who you're dealing with. They learn that there are differences between cultures, some of them very significant. They learn that dress is important. We have very few students showing up in shorts and t-shirts. A lot of people show up ties, dresses, very nicely dressed. They get better deals that way. Politeness is very important. Even a few words in the local language. Someone will walk up to a person from Kenya and say, "Jambo." And that's all they know in Swahili, but that's enough to get them a deal on price. And usually the traders will say, "Oh, they said Jambo, and oh, that was so good, I couldn't resist giving them a discount." This is valuable practice. Some of the problems, having enough foreign students that are willing to cooperate. Usually we do pretty well on this. The biggest problem is convincing our students to do the interview before the last minute. Many of them are afraid of talking to foreign students. I've actually had people come and said, "I don't know this guy from Palestine. What do I say? Will he get mad?" And then that particular student wound up talking for 2 hours about all the politics and all the stuff going on in Palestine. Okay, so this is one of the small problems. I'm going to finish up just a little bit early for questions. I have to take off. More details with a CD of forms and everything, I'll give a shameless plug here, are in this World Food Book. This came out just in September. This is extremely useful for any world food class. I would recommend getting your students involved with international people over which you have no control. Thank you. Are there any quick questions? I have maybe a minute or two. Yes. Yes.
Bargaining is such a beautiful thing.
Yes.
You would never know what you find out through bargaining.
Mm-hmm.
And after being here 30 years, I have forgotten that. So I went back to West Africa and eat this summer, and I asked for something that was like 100 times more than the price. I just walked away. The guy was extremely disappointed, mm-hmm. and he said to me that how can you do this thing, you know? How?
Bargaining is not unique to other countries. Bargaining is done here in the United States.
I'm not sure, though. You see, the English language is not very emotional language.
Okay, any other questions? Oh, sorry.
How many students are enrolled and what are their majors background?
I teach this in a spring semester. We limit it to 20 students because it is a writing intensive course. There's a lot of papers to grade. For the spring semester, half of the students are from agricultural majors. The other half are sports management, legal, the whole range. Typically, the agriculture students don't do as well as the non-agriculture students because they think they know agriculture. And this is non-U.S. agriculture.
We have time for one more question.
What about the evaluation? How do you do the evaluation?
The evaluation of the trade fair? The entire course is with traditional written tests. The trade fair is primarily on their presentation to the entire class. I might add that The company they're negotiating for is the Harold H. Harkenfarker Company. This is totally fictional. Last year I had an actor come in playing the role of Mr. Harkenfarker, and he would evaluate the students. It gives them a little bit more reality. But most of the evaluation, is on written test. Anecdotally, they remember it. They remember the Nigerian fellow who cheated them. They remember the Mexican lady who had her entire contract in Spanish. They couldn't understand the word, and they didn't say a thing. And she put stuff in that contract that made it null and void. Not a one asked, what does it say? Good preparation for the business world. Thank you.
Thank you.